The following program is a production of KHNS. Its content does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the Board of Directors and staff of Lynn Cannell Broadcasting Incorporated, the licensee.
Welcome to Talk Around Town. I'm Deborah Schnabel, your guide through today's talk about things that matter. Stay tuned for our current news analysis with Tom Morfitt, and our talking topic today is corporate personhood. Should we honor it? Our guests are Gershon Cohen and Jerry Pyle. We'll check in with the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board on issues relating to trapping and recreation, and hey, who are you? Introduces us to another community member. Sounds like fun. Stay tuned. And a good morning to you, Tom.
Good morning, Deborah.
How are you?
Fantabulous.
Oh, great. It looks like it's raining outside. You came in with your rain coat on.
And there's a little bit of powder on top of Santa Claus Mountain. I've never seen the Santa Claus there, so I wouldn't be able to say if powder is on his nose or on his hat.
The crash in the background there was just Russ readjusting the clock, which is now broken. But okay.
But yeah, I guess our incredible summer is kind of coming to a close.
Quickly, too.
Yeah.
What's been happening in town the last couple of weeks?
Well, the big news this week was this corporate personhood thing just
really
took off on us.
How so?
You know, well, we've got a lot of letters on it. We've had a chamber discussion last week. We have the Chamber of Commerce and the Chilkoot Indian Association weighing in on one side. On the other side, the We the People group. It is a classic Haynes political whirlstrom.
You know, I think you're right, and we're going to discuss this later, as I said, with Gershon and Jerry. But it is fascinating that we can allow ourselves to get consumed with this in a way.
Yeah. Well, it's one of these issues, I think. We love because it's symbolism. It's like burning the American flag. You know, everybody can have an opinion on it. I'm a corporation. I'm not a corporation. I'm a person. And it's a Goliath and David thing. You know, so it's like, oh, those corporations are bad and people are good. So it's very easy for a person to take a shot at that issue versus say, how do you find a new manager? You know, how do you develop the, you know, your economy of your town? Those are hard things you have to sit around and really think about. Whereas, you know, are corporations people? Of course not. No, they can't have the rights. When in fact, corporate personhood is kind of a
are you
complex,
getting political now?
A complex issue,
okay.
Right?
And we're going to hope to unravel that a little bit later on in the show.
But it's one of these things. I find it akin to the debate we had that went on for about 6 months on whether the school mission statement
should say global
citizens or U.S. citizens, and we finally, you know, wrestled to a draw, and we had to say global U.S. citizens. how far they advance our town,
mm-hmm.
You know, the day to day.
Thank you for that perspective. Yeah, so, what are we doing to advance our town, if anything?
Well, we're having an election. And I want to put in a quick plug for the KHNS CVN candidates
forum
a week from today.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got two seats open on the assembly and three seats and five candidates actually for the school board. There's more interest in the school board.
Good. Well, that was one after years of no one wanting to be on the board.
Yeah. And
I shouldn't say no one, but there were never contests.
Right. And I think it's the roster style thing.
I do too.
Have people like that, mm-hmm.
Even though they were all draggled in. I mean, right. There are a lot of write-in candidates right, for both. Right. But that's okay. We'll get used to it pretty soon.
Well,
or move the date.
Right, right. But it's fascinating. I think the school board has been pretty quiet, you know, ever since we made it its own thing. Of course, before we had consolidation, we had the assembly was also the school board. And there used to be quite a bit of dissent on mm-hmm. how to run the school mm-hmm. and who should be mm-hmm. in charge of the school and whatnot. And one of the arguments during consolidation was, well, let's make the school its own mm-hmm. a separate school board that it only does a mm-hmm. school board, and they would be mm-hmm. advocates of the school. Mm-hmm. And so the school board is very much like the old city council. You know, the Arnie Olson once said to me, he goes, well, the city council is just there for one thing, business. And so the people who are on the city – I went to city council meetings for months, years, when there was no audience. Well, and
no
nothing but unanimous votes
uh-huh.
from the governing body. Mm-hmm. Because if your mission is very narrow, it's very clear – how are you going to vote on things? Whereas mm-hmm. the borough – and I remember at the time I asked Arnie. I said, Arnie, why don't you get involved in borough politics? He goes, oh, God, that's all over the place. That's a mess. He said, you know, city's there for one thing, business.
All right. Well, he was a chamber-type person.
And it's easy when yeah. you only have to do one
You thing. Know, Tom, at this very moment, the Harbor Advisory Committee is meeting at yeah. the
– Big decision.
Okay.
Get
so
down
what's
there
going
if
on
you
with
have
that?
An opinion.
Yeah.
I think that my understanding is today there's going to be a decision on whether we should have that big – from the Ports and Harbors Committee, a recommendation anyway to the Assembly on whether we should have that sheet, big wall of metal out there to block the waves coming into the harbor, or whether we should spend more money and have what they call the rubble mound.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's a big decision because we're going to have to look at whatever they put down there for the next 30 years. And the advantage of the sheet wall, which probably I think the average person would say is less aesthetic, is that it's also costs a lot less.
Truthfully, I love the look of it. It looks very high tech to me. I like that look. Sorry, I didn't mean for that to be a conversation stopper.
No.
But it's a high tech look. Skagway has that.
Skagway has mm-hmm. one, and mm-hmm. if it's good enough for Skagway, mm-hmm. we'll see. So yeah, that's a big decision. The now there actually are technical questions with that. The
high maintenance costs, as I understand
right,
it.
Right, and the wave, the shock effect, the rubble mound actually absorbs waves versus when a wave hits that solid wall, it bounces back.
Resistance, so it's a –
You can't be too close in a boat because
– Aha.
Because, yeah.
So the holes in the rubble mound absorb the
– Exactly.
Got it. I get it.
The force of the
Good.
Wave.
Okay.
Yeah,
so anyway, that I just wanted to make sure that people were aware that that was probably the time to weigh in.
Yeah, get
would
down
be
there.
At the Harbor Advisory Committee meeting. Yeah. So anyone who has an interest in the technology or the science or the cost of that issue needs to participate
on
this level.
Decisions that we'll be living mm-hmm. with for – Either way, for a long time.
Yeah, okay. And
the mayor's back.
The mayor is back. And how is she?
That's reassuring. It seems like she's fully back in the saddle. She's talking about...
Yeah, I got a 5-page memo from her, so I think she's back.
She still has to go down to Seattle for tests. She seems like she's got all her resolve back. So that's good news. We have our
just for historical purposes, she was medevaced to Juneau last Friday.
Yeah.
And apparently there was a diagnosis of congestive heart failure, and she has made that public. And but they're trying to find out why that happened. It wasn't clear why that is happening.
Well,
so that's why she's going for
I'm
tests.
I'm getting the news from you this morning.
Sorry, I thought that was in your story.
Not the heart failure.
Okay. Whoops.
That's big. We have 16 applications for police chief.
Excellent.
Which is better than four, I think, mm-hmm. we had.
But you did comment to me in passing earlier that there were over 60 applicants for the
Petersburg. Yeah.
Is Petersburg really all that more attractive than Haines?
I think they may be just doing a more extensive search.
I see. Okay.
And, I mean, to their credit, the guy they had was, for the last chief, was there for 16 or 19 years.
Oh.
Sir Agner, I think his
name see.
Was.
Okay.
So, you know, it's
everyone who's wanted to apply for Petersburg is now applying.
Yeah,
they didn't have an opportunity for 20 years.
Now, and as I'm sure all of our listeners are the newspaper readers have read ad nauseum from me in my editorials that I think these jobs are very important. And I think that we should have something more akin to Petersburg, where we do mm-hmm. an exhaustive search because these positions are typically held for years and involve when the salaries are all added up. you know, half millions of dollars and whatnot. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. It's anything else we need
to...
I
wanted to do a little quick shout-out to all these little conferences that we have. We had all the EMTs come 3 weeks ago. Like,
yeah.
100 people at a time. It's a good little shot. And then we had the cross-country meet. And then Thursday, we've got the museums people. And it's just, I guess it's just a heads up for all the businesses to, you know, let's put on our best.
Stay open.
Yeah, and put on our best face. And, you know, that's real money.
Yeah, and local people, too, just on the street in passing.
Yeah.
You know, it's really interesting to me. The other day I saw some people that were hiking up Young Road looking for the trail to Rapinski because they had flown up from Juneau in the morning to hike the Rapinski Trail and then fly back home that evening. It was just like, oh, we love Haines. We love Haines. It's just a great place to visit. And they had come for the day.
Wow.
And I think we need to get more kind of tuned in to the fact that we are visited quite a bit by people.
Yeah, and so, from our own region.
Yeah. It's not just people from, you know, St. Louis, Missouri and, you know, Naples, Florida.
Yeah.
And Germany. But there are people from Juneau that just like to come.
A friend of mine went to Skagway yesterday. Jumped on the fast ferry. Uh-huh. Said, I had the day off. I'm going to Skagway.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Tom.
Thanks,
I appreciate you being here. Okay. And we'll move on. We do try to be mindful of others. PM Fornes, the author of Choosing Civility and co-founder of the John Hopkins Civility Project, has granted us permission here on Talk Around Town to present selections from his book published by St. Martin's Press New York. Each week, we remind ourselves of our personal goals. The first rule of civility is to pay attention. The second rule is to acknowledge others. The third, think the best of others. And rule four, which we introduced last week, is listen. Today we introduce rule number five, be inclusive. One of our strongest yearnings is to be accepted by others. We find meaning, shelter, acceptance, and direction within groups. Attitudes and words that include are therefore very comforting. And being inclusive means to be respectful. Inclusion is the culture of the future. Inclusion is what allows organizations to do well in future global civilizations. Inclusion is an effort to diversify our acquaintances, our experiences, and to understand that which we discover. It's not only civil, but it's a smart thing to do. Be inclusive. On Monday, October 23rd, a public discussion about the conflicts between trapping and exercising your pet is scheduled here in Haines. It will be a constructive discussion, and Ron Jackson, the chair of the Haynesboro Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee, is here to tell us about it. Thanks. Well, welcome, Ron.
Good morning.
I said thank you before we even started talking. I'm being inclusive.
You want me to leave now?
No, I don't. So why is this an issue, Ron?
Well, it seems like every year there's one, two, three dogs caught in traps, basically. And that's quite an emotional issue for pet owners.
And you can imagine. Dogs.
And the dogs get kind of psyched out, too. And so we wanted to try to get ahead of that. Trapping season's coming up around the 1st of November. Get a discussion of looking for solutions on how to prevent that.
Mm-hmm. How do other communities deal with this?
It varies. Some communities just say no trapping in the town site, which is probably their high-risk areas. Places like Juneau just put a blanket half a mile from any road, trail, otherwise like that. And then they identify some really specific areas. So it's kind of like a broad-brush approach to some places. Some are real surgical almost, like Valdez has. You can trap in town site, but here's a whole bunch of places you can't.
So right now, I was surprised to find out earlier that there are 39 trapping licenses issued last year in the Haynesboro or I'll say in this Alaska management unit, I guess is what one could say.
The data I saw in the paper, this like last June, said there was 39 issued that had a Haines zip code. So that would be our local trappers probably. But they also said there was like 110 or so total licenses sold through the vendors here in town.
Okay, so we do have people trapping. I mean, certainly not 39 people necessarily are trapping, but there are that many. Potentially there could be. And currently then we have never really addressed the issue. And so we are, this meeting then, it's not official in the sense that it doesn't involve government representatives or assembly members or anyone now that's on any kind of official position. It's just kind of a community discussion. Is that correct?
Right. At this point, the Parks and Rec Advisory Committee wants to kind of sense the issue, get some ideas about what might be proposed to the borough, if there is something that we could propose that would help reduce or eliminate the dogs getting caught in traps, basically.
Then you have you've contacted the Alaska Trappers Association, right, to find out how other people do things, and you actually have a some kind of DVD or a presentation of some sort.
Right.
So tell me now more specifically about the meeting itself, where and when, and what can people expect to have happen at the meeting.
Okay. It's Monday night at 5:30 at the library.
At the library,
and
okay.
We're going to start off by showing a DVD that the Trappers Association put out about sharing the trails. And in there they talk about the various types of traps, how to identify where trapping takes place. And also probably more important is if your dog does get caught in a trap, how to release them. Some traps are a little tricky to do that, apparently, in my watching of the video. So,
Will you be bringing traps to the will somebody be bringing traps to the meeting so that people can get some familiarity
possibly.
With
we're
it?
Possibly. We're working on that. So we can just kind of show some of the different types. And there'd be an educational component like that, and then we'll look at some trying to find some solutions for what does happen around here.
So who should come to the meeting?
I would say pet owners that hike, particularly snowshoeing winter activities during that trapping season, November through April, and definitely trappers who can help us with some solutions and look at, you know, give us their perspectives too.
And because there is a lot of territory in the Haynesboro, and there are a lot of trails. And I guess we have to, at some point in time, figure out, like, how to share them.
Yeah, and identify the ones that there's the most potential of trapping and hiking overlapping. You know, those would be high risk. If there's no hiking going on somewhere, it's just a non-event, pretty much.
Right, right. If you have to take your snow machine, like, for 45 minutes to even set your traps, probably you're not going to have a dog there, too.
Yeah.
Right? Something like that.
Unless you ride along.
Right, right. Okay, the meeting again, then, is at 5:30 on Monday, and it'll last probably about an hour or so.
Right.
Maybe more.
Maybe more. We
the DVD is 30 minutes?
The DVD is 28 minutes. Okay. We timed this so that people could come here, do this, and then go to Hot Cowtown at the same time. So
that's very sensitive. All
right.
Yeah, right. All right. All right. Thank you very much, Ron.
I think that's
an important issue for all of us in the community. Thanks for being with us.
Yep.
On October 1, we are going to the polls here in Haines, and the ballot that we'll vote on asks us to vote on this particular question. Should the Haynesboro Charter preamble and Bill of Rights be amended by the addition of the following words? We, the people of the Haynesboro, believe the rights set out in the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Alaska, like those in this charter, are guaranteed only to individual human beings and do not apply to artificial entities. This question and similar ones are related to a national issue that's kind of called corporate personhood. And today we're going to talk with Gershon Cohen, a member of We the People, and to Jerry Pyle, a scholar, about corporate personhood and how we are or could be affected by it and a change in the status quo. First, let's talk about the status quo. I wanted to ask you, Jerry, to just provide us a history about corporate personhood. I mean, what it means legally and why it exists.
Okay, before we do that, let me just insert one little comment. I happen to run this proposal through a readability scale called the Flash Kincaid.
You mean the language of the ballot?
Yes.
You ran it through a what?
A program that will determine the readability, and this program is called Flash Kincaid.
Whoa.
And what it comes out to in terms of readability is 19.8, which means you should have at least 7.8 years above the high school level to comprehend exactly what we're talking about. So first of all, I think we would both agree that neither one of us meet that standard, so we could not necessarily be totally reliable as to what it means.
Is this a disclaimer, Jerry?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
I thought I knew what it meant.
Okay. All right. We're going to go forward anyway.
Okay.
Okay.
Because it's not a simple question. But the concept of peoplehood goes way back. And at one point, it was a question of humans, not people. And
can you talk into the mic more directly?
Yes,
thank you.
Okay.
Maybe if you turned your chair around that way.
All right. I'll try to talk into
the
mic.
Okay, great.
Okay. And the issues go back to the Magna Carta. They even go back to the etymology of the word people, which goes back to Roman times. It goes back to the Magna Carta, 1215. It goes back to different languages, different customs, different laws. So the definition of people and human has never been totally defined so it's acceptable to everyone.
But what about the word corporation? When did that start showing up?
People identify corporation with capitalism. And you'll hear various people tell you that the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, did not mention corporations, did not mention property. There's a reason for that in that corporations in the capitalistic sense did not exist in 1789. They came about in 1789 with the book published by Adam Smith called The Wealth of Nations. So there's a reason why these are not addressed at that point. And the then question becomes, okay, in the year 1868, the 14th Amendment was passed, and the 14th Amendment bestowed upon, it used a phrase, people, and the meaning was not clear immediately at that time as to what people were and people status. It was not until the year 1886 that it became really controversial. Because by interpretation, the Supreme Court bestowed peoplehood on corporations.
That was in 1886?
Yes.
Okay. Are you with that, Gershon? I see you kind of...
I would have a slightly different take on some of this. I mean, a major reason that we fought the Revolutionary War in this country was because of the power that corporations chartered by the King of England had over our economy. They were controlling natural resources. They were controlling the flow of finished goods. And they were strangling the economy of the colonies, and not to mention they could pass laws, they could raise armies and have taxes, et cetera. And so we fought a war to end that corporate control.
Jerry, do you have a reaction to that? Is that generally correct?
Well, I do have objection because of the use of the word corporation. There were companies, the East India Company and so forth, so the word corporation was not –
Okay, but we're not 17 years over, right. We got to keep this fairly simple, but you're in general agreement that that's that company or corporation same thing. Okay.
And what happened, you know, as we became a country, we started to pass laws that one of the things we did was we established rules for how corporations, companies, et cetera, would function in our new country. And so we set up a system by which the states would have to charter a corporation. If you wanted to form a corporation in the new country, you had to literally go to the state legislature at the time and have a bill passed. It was like getting a law passed to create a corporation. And there were very, very strict rules in this country back then about how they could function. They were not allowed to be involved in elections. They were not allowed to lobby on laws. They were not allowed to own property that wasn't directly related to what they were about. They had to operate for the public good, like building a bridge or digging a canal. And when the bridge or the canal was finished, they were required to dissolve. So we had a very restrictive opinion in this country about corporate behavior.
Now, give me this timeline again.
This was in the late 1700s, early 1800s.
Okay.
And then an interesting thing happened.
I'd like to ask a question, okay, because I'm still back in the third grade. What I carry around with me intellectually is that the reason for corporations is basically to protect individuals from liability that they could take on and lose. Like my father always said, they'll never take our house away, even if something bad happens, because
right.
It's a corporation that's doing the business.
Well, and that's true. Here's the way that all transpired. Okay,
because we need
if
the
you were,
t-
yeah,
okay.
no, it's important context. Mm-hmm. If you were going, let's say a community wanted to have a bridge to another community across the river so that they could have trade or whatever.
Okay.
And nobody, no individual had the ability, had the resources to make that happen.
Okay.
So a group of people would get together so that they could, you know, join forces and build that bridge. Now, they were doing something that was for the common good. It was going to benefit a lot of people in a lot of ways to do that project. In exchange for putting their resources into that project, they were given what's known as limited liability, which is what you were talking about, so that your dad's house couldn't be taken away. So they, you know, corporations were given limited liability and certain tax advantages to encourage them to do things that were for the public good so that they wouldn't lose everything if somebody fell off the bridge during construction. They wouldn't lose their own personal farm. So that's where limited liability, you know, and limited liability predates that. But, I mean, that's the concept of limited liability. And so one it raises an interesting – you know, it raises one of the interesting twists to this whole thing, and that is that corporations – and when we say corporations, certainly in the context of what we're talking about today and in the bigger picture of personhood, it's not just corporations. It's for-profit corporations, nonprofit corporations. It's unions. It's associations. It's any group that is not individual human beings. That's where we're drawing the line. Now, for shorthand's sake, we'll just say – corporations, but just so everybody understands, we're really talking about a broader group, grouping of society. Mm-hmm. So when they, you know, in exchange for limited liability and tax advantages, they had all these restrictions on their behavior because, frankly, the people in the new country were very concerned about the power that could be amassed from the wealth that you could get through having limited liability and tax advantages. So.
Okay. Do you want to comment on that, Jerry?
Yes, I do. Because I think we're getting obscured with the issue at hand with this background information.
But I think it's important for people to know what a corporation is. And what it is not.
I think one of the key words here is people. Because if I understand the law correctly, and somebody can correct me, you cannot be sued unless you're a person. or you cannot be sued or sue unless you're a person.
No, that's the problem.
Jerry's correct. And in fact, that's what I was going to get to, Jerry, was the fact that this term that we know of today is artificial persons. Mm-hmm. That's where that comes from, because when our country was first being founded and we were creating these laws and these rules, lawyers for the very few corporations that existed at the time said, well, you know, these laws don't apply to us because they only apply to people. And everybody said, wait a minute, we were not trying to create a system by which you would be aside, you know, beside the law and not covered by the law. And so we started to use this term, artificial persons, to mean that, yes, you are a corporation, but for purposes of the law, you would still be considered a person so that you could sue and be sued and things like that. And I agree. I think that's a very legitimate situation. We have to have that. So that's where artificial personhood in America really comes from. It was so that they would not be outside of the law, not because we wanted them to be considered like people. We wanted to be able to make sure that our laws applied to corporations. And that went through. And, you know, as Jerry said, and, you know, that there are various Supreme Court cases and things we could talk about in a longer discussion sometime. But in 1886, a little bit less than 20 years after the passage of the 14th Amendment, which said that states cannot deny equal protection under the law, after many, many cases, and this is where I definitely disagree with Jerry, up to that point, there had been many attempts by corporations to get constitutional rights, and they had been rebuffed by the court again and again and again. But as you know, in our system, it only takes one time mm-hmm. for a court to make a decision that if other courts want to use that as a precedent, they can then change course for the country. And, you know, it's funny today, you know, you hear this term activist Supreme Court. I would tell you that in 1886, we had the most activist Supreme Court in history because they found 14th Amendment protections for corporations for the first time.
Okay, so why has this suddenly, like in 2010, 11, 12, why has this now become such an issue? I didn't grow up with this issue, but I've had corporations around for my whole life. So tell me.
It came about due to a Citizens United case that was determined by the Supreme Court involving the 2010 elections. And the intent was how much money could be spent by private individuals and corporations uncontrolled. Would you agree this is basically, mm-hmm. yes. And as a consequence of that, it came back into the forefront. And it goes back to the 14th Amendment, the interpretation of the 14th Amendment. Now, please bear in mind, this case was not determined in the Supreme Court until 2012. So it stayed in the courts for 2 years before it actually...
But it's been agitating. I mean, it's been percolating.
No, the case was decided in January of 2010 with Citizens United. And then shortly after that came SpeechNow.org. And between those two cases that were decided by the U.S. Supreme Court, it was determined that corporations, again, in the broader sense, could spend an unlimited amount of money on elections, and it also gave rise to the creation of what are known as super PACs, so that you could put unlimited amounts of money into these entities that were then untraceable as far as where the money was going to be going to support elections. That's what super PACs basically are.
So that is the issue, or are there other issues?
There's been 100 years of the Supreme Court repeatedly giving more and more of the constitutional rights intended for human beings to non-human beings. And,
now, you know, that just sounds like an interpretation.
Well,
is that an interpretation,
I will,
Jerry?
But let me support. Okay. I'm happy to hear Jerry's point of view, but let me support it by saying that a few months ago, I went to Anchorage and I visited with Vic Fisher. Vic is one of mm-hmm. the two remaining drafters of the Alaska Constitution. Mm-hmm. And I put the question to him directly that, you know, Vic, when you were drafting the state constitution, did you contemplate that the rights that you were enumerating in the constitution would ever be applied to non-human beings, individual human beings? And he told me absolutely not. We just mm-hmm. never even thought about mm-hmm. it. It was mm-hmm. not what we intended. And so, there's something over 80% of America thinks that the Citizens United decision by the Supreme Court was wrong. And that
where do you get that?
I didn't bring the information with me, but I can produce poll after, you know, all independent mm-hmm. polls mm-hmm. throughout, you know, the last mm-hmm. couple of years have repeatedly shown that across the board, Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, everybody, it's just a remarkable consensus, which is why so many people have heard of Citizens United. Mm-hmm. It has now become one of the most famous Supreme Court cases in our history mm-hmm. because so many people are saying, wait a minute, you know, having corporations be able to spend an unlimited amount of money in elections is not proper. Mm-hmm. But I'm hoping that we can in this discussion get to our ballot measure because
we are going to get there.
Very different from what there. We're – I mean, this history is very interesting to me and Jerry obviously as well. But we should get
well,
to the ballot
measure.
Well, I
think we have time for getting to the ballot measure, and we will get there. But I think that we can dispense with that actually a little bit more quickly than we can build an understanding and appreciation for why mm-hmm. it's even there. Because I think that is important. And I want to clarify, too, that, you know, I did attend the chamber meeting on Friday, and there were questions like, why are we, you know, who brought this forward? You know, why is this there? Is the municipality, is the Haynes Borough behind this? And I think it's important to recognize that this was a people's initiative, that the Haynes Borough did not, as an assembly, I should say, the Haynes mm-hmm. Borough Assembly of seven people or six plus a mayor, didn't sit around and talk about whether or not this was good or bad policy for the Haynes Borough, but that a group of people in the community, and I don't know, how many people did it take? 250 some signatures or something?
We were required to get 216 and we gathered 290 in 2 days.
Right. So that could be a testament to your earlier statement that generally people see this as an alarming or wrong. It's something they don't want to support. I'll put it that way.
Well, there is a growing and I would say very large movement across the country right now of people that believe that we are on a bad course in terms mm-hmm. of this, that we need to have elections need to be controlled by people
and by human beings.
By human beings, individual human beings, and that as individual human beings, we all have our constitutional rights, and that when you start looking at corporations and other associations as also having constitutional rights, that then the situation basically that you put yourself in is the more money you have, because mm-hmm. basically people that are involved in a mm-hmm. lot of corporations, say, are going to be people that are wealthier. If you have your rights as an individual and you also have your rights as corporations, then you kind of have more rights than other people. And that's really, I think, if you wanted to boil
double
it down,
whammy.
Yeah, it's the most fundamental part. And when you combine that with the tax advantages and limited liability that to some degree allow you to accumulate that wealth, then the situation that we are now in, I believe, is mm-hmm. that corporations have more rights than we do as individuals because they have their rights of limited liability and tax advantages, and they have our rights as individuals, and the scales have tipped. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the billions, literally billions with a B, of dollars that are being spent on elections today mm-hmm. and the amount of money that's being spent on lobbyists to control the drafting of our laws, I think it's very difficult to argue that we don't have a serious problem with having a functional democracy.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that – and this will bring us to the ballot question too – is that many I have recently seen a list of the number of municipalities in the United States – that have either adopted amendments or at least gone along with a resolution
or whatever,
some kind of they've run a flag up the pole, mm-hmm. so to speak, and said, you know, we're concerned. However it is they want to do it legally or not, they have registered their concern as for the thing that you are speaking about right now. Before we move on to the ballot question, you talk a little bit about, you know, related entities or like entities. The Chilkoot Indian Association took out an ad in the newspaper last, the Chilkoot Valley News, pretty much decrying the ballot question and saying vote no because they were concerned about the this action to not recognize corporate personhood as a way of kind of dissolving or impacting or affecting a tribal entity. Now, nobody from the Chilkoot Indian Association was able to come today to speak to that concern. But could either of you, Jerry, could you speak to that concern as to whether or not you would recognize that there would be some threat to a tribal entity if the corporate personhood issue were acknowledged and done away with?
Well, this raises two questions.
Oh, dear.
Okay. Yes, it would be a challenge to them. Would it be a challenge under the current proposal at the municipal level would be another matter altogether. Mm-hmm. But they are very closely entwined because the natives have special rights because by federal law and state law, they are not just a group of citizens. They are technically a tribe, a nation of their own, mm-hmm. and they have very distinct rights that crop up that may be encroached upon by what you do, and they would have the authority to take it, get us into court if we were to do anything that would infringe on these rights.
Hmm.
So,
you don't see it that way, Gershon?
I don't see it that way.
And none of us are lawyers. We should say that right.
Yeah, no, I don't see it that way. The ballot measure is very, very specific.
Okay,
to
let's stop and read that. And then go on. Okay. We read this earlier. Should the Hainesboro Charter preamble and Bill of Rights be amended by the addition of the following? Quote, "We the people of the Hainesboro believe the rights set out in the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Alaska, like those in this charter, are guaranteed only to individual human beings and do not apply to artificial entities."
Okay, so the first half of that is a statement of belief. That's mm-hmm. all it is, mm-hmm. that we don't believe that corporations of any kind should be treated as individuals in terms of having constitutional rights. That doesn't mean,
artificial entities. The word corporation doesn't show up here at all.
Right. It's, again, it says we're artificial entities.
And that's why.
It's broad enough to include corporations.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And I want to be, before I, it's very important to make this understood that no one is saying that anything that is being done right now by any artificial entity will not continue and should not continue. We believe it should be done as a privilege and not as a right. Because as a right, rights are inalienable. There's a huge difference here. Rights are inalienable. You have rights because you are a living, breathing human being living in this free country. Okay? You have rights. The government doesn't give you your rights. The government acknowledges that your rights exist. Privileges are something that we allow we're allowing to have happen.
Mm, okay.
If we maintain these things as privileges, and I have no problem with anything that is being done today by any of these groups, if it's a privilege, it will continue unless the people, again, a majority of the people believe that it shouldn't continue or it should be amended or whatever. And then that's called democracy. And we can address that privilege. If it's a right, if corporations are doing things by right, then there's no way to address them. Even if we think they may be taking us down a terrible road, like, say, with what's happening with our elections or the drafting of our laws, we can't approach that problem if they are doing it by right. And so that's a very, very critical concept here.
Okay. But I need to bring Jerry back down to his chair.
Okay. this argument would be 100% valid if it were not based on current constitutional law. It's based on the concept of natural rights that were introduced, inalienable rights that I think he is referring to. And these are not part of our Constitution. Those were tossed out when we junked the Articles of Confederation and went back to the English common law. And you have key provisions in there that address rights. Life, liberty, and property, which is barred from Jean-Jacques Rousseau. And that expression was used in the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution, our current Constitution. It will not be used again until the 14th Amendment was passed, and that's the only two times it appears in the Constitution. And so it's very critical to know why that was there, and we didn't get to that a while ago, but it is there. It does have relevance to what we're talking about. So his argument would be 100% valid if we were still relying upon the concept of natural law, and that was rejected by the Articles of Confederation is one reason we have the present Constitution that we have.
Well, it sounds really scholarly to me.
I think we're going to end up in a three-month discussion, which I would love to have with Jerry about that point. But, you know, the practicality.
Let's get practical. Yeah, we do have to be practical. So here we are faced with this question. Now, I for me, as a citizen in the community, I want to know that if I vote yes, what will it mean? If I vote no, what will it mean?
Let me go first on this one, okay?
Okay.
Okay. What you're saying is we don't believe this group should have constitutional rights.
That's not correct.
No. Is that what it's saying?
That's not correct.
Are guaranteed only to individual human beings.
No.
Because the question is we believe. And when you come in and say this, you're saying that corporations are clearly people in the old sense of the word, so that's why it's been challenged, and that they do not have rights. And I, for this purpose, I would refer you back to Move the Amendment group that's sponsoring these resolutions all over the country and ordinances and whatever terminology you want to use. Now, I got this from a very reliable source on the web, and I think it's one that Gershwin told me that he had helped form 10 years ago.
No, not 10. 2009. I'm one of the founders of Move to Amend. Yeah, okay. So I'm pretty familiar with what it's about.
Okay.
But the issue is not we are not challenging this ballot measure will have no impact whatsoever.
You're still citing we believe. Now the question is, you would be saying we believe if you ratify this.
We believe the rights that rights are guaranteed. I'm going to go rights are guaranteed only to individual human beings and do not apply to artificial entities.
Right, this is
so any
of
artificial
belief.
Entity you would be saying is not entitled to these rights. We believe that. Now whether or not it has the force of law is what I think we're hinting at right here. But you would be saying that, and this is tucked away in a part of the preamble and so forth, where presumably it would not have any kind of financial risk to the...
Well, that was one thing that the borough attorney did pass down to the members of the assembly, that amending a preamble to a charter doesn't necessarily change the guts of the charter, so to speak. It's just a preamble. It's a belief statement. So let's go back to your reaction to my question. If I vote yes...
Yes.
I'm saying that I believe that constitutionally stated rights are guaranteed to individual human beings and not to artificial entities.
Well, it depends on which constitution. If you're talking about the rights under the U.S. Constitution, there's no change.
Okay.
If you're talking about the rights under the Alaska Constitution, no change.
Okay.
The only thing that changes is that in the rights that are enumerated by the borough of Haines, and they are things like safeguarding our diversity, harmony, respect for the environment, access to a well-maintained public record, the enjoyment of chosen lifestyles, traditions, recreational activities, these rights, which are right here in the preamble,
those
are the only rights.
Are rights only for individuals?
That will be for individuals. Just the rights that we as the Haines Borough have passed that are aside. We are not...
We haven't passed them. I mean, that we acknowledge.
We acknowledge them.
Let me question this right now.
Go ahead.
The wording is, believe the rights set out in the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Alaska.
Like those in this charter.
Right.
Jerry, it says we are making a statement of belief of what we as a community, if this passes, feel about the way that those issues have been handled. But there is, as the borough attorney has said, there is no legal impact from that at all. There's no legal liability or vulnerability
from basically, that. Gershwin, you're saying that we the people and probably the people who support voting yes are members of the community who would like to go on record as having this position.
It's a very small step. It is showing that we agree with communities all over the country that are putting this principle either into resolution or ordinance or whatever to show that this is how they feel we should be operating as a country.
Okay. Now, Jerry, I don't mean to be presumptive, but I'm going to take a risk here. So you're going to vote no.
Not on the issues involved, but on the structure of what is being presented.
Okay.
Because
why?
There is risk involved for the borough, whether we recognize it
okay,
or not.
Okay, and I want to get to that, and we have 5 minutes to get there.
It was placed in the preamble for a reason to ensure that it could not be challenged constitutionally. I'll just concede, okay, it may or may not be constitutional. But the attorney's opinion said no immediate impact. And then he goes on to warn that what you are really doing is to give the assembly the right to amend this because he said, as long as you maintain the business as you have been accustomed to doing it, there is no risk. But he does imply that if you do otherwise, that you would be likely to wind up in a test case.
That's so interesting to me because I'm curious. That was brought up at the Chamber of Commerce meeting over and over again. And people were concerned that Haynes would be setting itself up as a test case. Why would we be any different than the hundreds of other municipalities that have already done, apparently? I mean, I haven't read what they actually passed, but Why do you think that Haynes would be taking any more risk than anyone else?
It has to do partly with the status of the native corporations because there are people under this law, and they could show damage if you wanted to.
Hang on. We only have a minute left, Jerry. I've got to speak to this. For there to be any action that could prompt anybody to take any legal action whatsoever, we would have to, as a borough, pass ordinances
and implement those ordinances.
So this ballot measure, as it is right now, will not take us down the road to litigation. Someone would have to sponsor an ordinance. It would go through public hearings, public process, et cetera, et cetera.
And Jerry's shaking his head. He might know somebody's going to do that. Do you, Jerry?
What we're saying is, I think the attorney summed it up. To use words that we can all understand third grade level. What you're doing is giving people who may not be even on the assembly now the chance to challenge this in court. It's a future action, and he cannot comment on future actions. And it's like handing a child a match and a gasoline can and say,
oh my!
Go out and have a nice
day. Oh my, Jerry. Okay. Jerry, we're talking to excuse me, Jerry, with all due respect. We're talking about democracy here. If some future assembly wants to do anything, they have to bring it to the people. They have to have public hearings. It has to be sponsored and seconded. There's going to go to committee. People get to weigh in. I mean, this is part of the fact that we live in a democracy. We get to talk about these things and decide where we want to go.
Do you want to hand the kid the can of gasoline to the match?
Well, I would rather not look at our borough assembly as a bunch of kids with a can of gasoline. I think that we have a responsibility to be to the foundation of our country to be willing to say, hey, we're adults. We're going to be able to talk about these things. We're going to decide what's good for ourselves or not, and we're going to take those actions. I think if you look at the sponsors, you know, here's an important point here is if you look at the sponsors of this, it's not, when you have Chip Lendy, who owns Lutac Lumber, and you have Dick Flagel, who ran the bank for 25 years, and you have Hugh Reitz, who runs Haynes Packing, when you have folks
all corporations
who make their money that way, who are sponsors of this ballot measure, the idea that we should be fearing the impact of this on our society and on our economy, I think you have to answer the question of why do these people think it's important and we're willing to be sponsors?
And I hate to say that it seems almost planned out to give Gershon the final word there, but I have to close the show out. We've got the time. Jerry, I will let you have one response to that and then we'll close out.
Well,
if you want to take it.
Okay, I'll take it. we are at a critical point because I'm sure that a lot of people that I've talked to that signed this petition wish now they had not signed the petition.
Oh, I can't let you represent that.
You can't say that.
Okay, I could get named, but I won't. But there is an implied danger here. It's been recognized by our attorney.
The attorney that advised the borough assembly that amending a preamble to the charter, in other words,
do not go here. Caution, do not go here. But you've given that right, so you cannot guarantee you will not be in a court. You will not be challenged. And there are other reasons, plenty of other reasons you could wind up in court.
Okay, and with that, I'll close out. Thank you to both of you for one of the most, I guess, intellectually stimulating discussions that we've had for quite a while. I'm exhausted.
At the
third grade level, of course. I'm exhausted. Thank you very much. For the introduction of yet another community member in Haines, Alaska. Hey, who are you?
I'm Lori Webster.
Hi, Lori. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
All right. And what brings you to Haines?
I came up in 2007 and I ran the Bed and Breakfast, the summer in Bed and Breakfast for 2 years. Really loved Haines. Even loved it in the winter, so I've been kind of in and out since then and finally found another full-time gig.
All right. When you're out of here, where are you?
I'm from Kansas, so I try to go back there to visit my family. Mm-hmm. I've also been traveling. I got to go to Australia last winter for a few months and like to... You know.
So you say you have a new gig in town.
I do.
Where can we find you?
I'm the manager at Alaska Seaplanes at the airport.
Oh, at the airport. Yeah, okay. And have you always been in the tourism business? Are you a traveler, a rambler?
I am a traveler. So I love flying the small planes. I flew with Paul with a mountain flying service when I first got here, and I kind of wanted to be a pilot. So I'm just.
And why didn't you become a pilot?
It's a lot of work, but I get to fly now, and I let the pilots do their job, and I'll do my job on ground.
Okay, so from Canvas, and where else have you traveled?
I've been in California. I've been in Europe.
You're not wearing little red shoes that you
clicked. I do not have a dog named Toto.
But you travel.
I do, yeah.
All right. And outside of the country?
Yeah. My last stop was Australia with my friend and lived in Europe for a few months. So
where?
In Amsterdam.
Uh-huh, nice. So
I really enjoyed that part and just getting out to see new places. But Haines already attracted me, and I'm pretty much set on coming back here every time.
Okay, but now you're here you're here.
Now I'm here.
Okay, and what do you do aside from love to travel and work?
Just the normal stuff. I've been out on the boats. I bought a kayak this summer for my fun time. I like to ride my bike and hike, berry picking.
Well, you're perfect for Haines then, aren't you?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Do you like music?
I do.
Are you a musician?
No.
Oh, okay. Soon to come.
Yeah.
It's not as scary as flying.
No.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Lori.
Thank you.
You're very, very wonderful to have you here. And that's it for Talk Around Town this week. Thanks to our guests, Tom Morfitt, Ron Jackson, Gershon Cohen, Jerry Pyle, and Lori Webster. Stay engaged. Be inclusive. This is Station KHNS 102.3 FM, Haines.